Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Active Radio KHII 88.9 FM Podcast. We really appreciate you joining us today. My name is John Hurt, and we're going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our community. By sharing knowledge through our conversations, we will try to impart some information you may need about what is happening in the Tularosa Basin and across southern New Mexico. So let's get to the interviews.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Bob Flott, live and local in the studio with you on this Wednesday morning. Good to have you with us. If you're a traveler around the area, highways 54, 70, and 380, no problem. They should remain open all day today. Those of you that work and travel within White Sands Missile Range, no problem there either. All those roads should remain open all day today. But remember, roadblocks are subject to change with very little notice. And a reminder from your men and women at range control and your men and women in law enforcement all around the area, please buckle up. Got to do that. Please drive safely and watch those posted speed limits. And somebody says, Bob, practice what you preach. Oh, I do. Well, good morning. This morning we're going to talk about Alamogordo Fire Department. By golly, we've got three guests in with us this morning, and we're going to go over some things that are coming up. We'll talk about that small fire we had yesterday. Was it yesterday?
The day before.
Day before yesterday, yeah. We got the news release on that small fire here in Alamogordo and some other events coming up. Joining us this morning, live and local in the studio, we have our Alamogordo Fire Department Chief. Good to have Chief Jerry Ramirez with us this morning. Chief, good to have you here.
Thank you, Bob. Good morning.
Good morning to you. We also have our Deputy Chief, Liam Lashley. Liam, good morning.
Good morning to you, Bob.
Did we get it right?
Yes.
Got it right? All right. Also, not a new voice to you either, Will Skaggs. He's the Alamogordo Fire Department Shift Number 2 Lieutenant. Will, welcome back.
Morning, Bob.
My hunting buddy.
Absolutely.
You betcha.
You draw that tag, we'll go kill a big one.
You betcha. Well, guess what? I didn't draw a thing this year.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, welcome to that club and everything else. Well, guys, it's good to have you in our studio again this morning, live and local. First of all, I guess, Will, you want to bring us up on that fire that we had a couple of days ago?
Yeah, Bob. So Monday morning, we got toned out for a fire up in the snow drive area in the alleyway. During the course of the investigation, we identified a juvenile who was responsible for the fire and referred them over to JPPO for adjudication on that fire, for misuse of fire.
Are those small fires like that becoming more common?
Yes, Bob, and we're having a rash of them in the area, in the Washington Street area,
right.
In Washington Park, actually damaging city property.
Right. Now, was this person that was a subject, is he a juvenile?
Yes, it's a juvenile.
Yeah. So, do you think he might be associated with some of the other fires as well?
It could be. You know, it's a trend and it's a rash across the nation, especially this time of year, right at the end of school. Summer's coming out, with kids are getting curious, and they just don't quite understand the ramifications that can come from it. You know, something small that seems like, oh, it's not a big deal, can get out of hand really, really quick.
You better get a gust of wind coming up and things like that. Next
Absolutely.
Thing you know, we've got homes engulfed in flames.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's a life-changing event. You know, you might think that you're just doing something simple, it's not a big deal, but it can change the course of your life if something goes wrong.
You bet. And Chief Ramirez, that also can change the course of a lot of other people's lives as well, because those fires can become quickly deadly.
That is correct, Bob.
Yeah.
As Lieutenant Skaggs had mentioned, something that they think it may be malicious in their mind in general might turn into where they burn a whole block down because the fires are so rapidly with the winds that we have this time of the year, especially.
You know, I was a kid, if you guys can believe that or not. One time, I was a young kid raised on a farm in Michigan, and my dad burnt his fields for cropping. You know, that was very common way back then and everything else. But if I would have intentionally started somebody's field on fire, I probably wouldn't be here in the studio today.
Yeah.
You know, my dad, my mom, they were strict raising the kids, 7 boys and 3 girls, and we abided by what they said. You know, maybe that was a long time ago.
Yeah, parenting is a little different now. You know, I can speak, you know, I know Deputy Chief and I, we have kids about the same age, and it's a different world now, and I'm not sure what changed, you know?
I don't know either. I don't have an answer for that.
Yeah.
It gets back to, I do believe sometime in my heart that a lot of times, as parents, some parents want to leave the their child, want to leave the child being reared by maybe their teachers or their minister.
Yeah.
You know, get involved in that when they should really be doing it. Being a parent is an every minute, every day job.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? It takes every minute of every day to be a parent. You have to stay on top of it. I mean, even good kids. I've got great kids. They're still kids. They're learning. They're adapting. They're experimenting. You know, when I was a teenager, I loved fire. You know what I mean? That's why I am where I am now. You know what I mean? They want to see it. They want to do it, but they need to express that to their parents. And then we'll even do that. Like I said, we've got the Ferguson Academy coming up this year,
yes,
which is a big deal. That's going to be our first introduction into that world, you know, and that Ferguson Academy is going to be absolutely amazing. You know, AFD is taking on a big part of that in partnership with APD, City of Alamogordo, and APS, you know, and we're going to be doing live fire burns there at the Ferguson Academy. So
very
the kids
good.
Are going to get to see it. Where I'm going to build burn cells. The kids aren't going to get to go in and participate in suppressing the fire, but they're going to get to watch the guys suppress the fire. So I'll build these burn cells that will mimic, I could build it to mimic this room.
Right.
And we will light it on fire, let it burn, progress, suppress it, and then the kids are going to get to go in and investigate it just like I would on a regular fire scene.
Yeah, now when is that Ferguson Academy coming up?
In July.
Okay, yes. July what?
So it kicks off July 1, I believe, right, the first week of July, and it runs through the whole month of July with us taking the 4th of July off, Monday through Friday.
Very good, yeah. Good. Now, if you guys ever want to practice grass brush fryers, we've got all this property back here, you know. Bring the trucks over, bring the kids over, and show them how to do it. We won't mind at all.
Well, you know, Bob, and that's something, you know, progressing forward that we're really hoping to get into, you know, especially with the expansion of Alamogordo Fire Department. As we start building, you know, more personnel, more training, we're going to be able to offer these programs to the kids, and that's what we're looking for, because that's what our youth community here in Alamogordo needs. They need some buy-in, some involvement.
Yeah, I know when we go up to the fire prevention days in Cloudquap with Chief Eric Wershing up there and everything, they'll have those demonstrations, and kids love to get involved in that, like trying to extract somebody out of a vehicle, putting out a fire on a vehicle, and things like that. And that can pique their interest for a career.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Does our university here in Alamogordo offer any kind of a career like that?
They don't right now. Back when I came out of high school, they did. They offered the fire science program. And we've been working with the college. You know, previous Chief Adler
right.
was working on it, and we're continuing to work on it, trying to get that back. And that's what the Ferguson Academy is all about. It's to show the kids, hey, this career is here. This is what it is. Because on the PD side, so when we start this academy, it's going to be like they get hired on. So they're going to go through the whole process, the hiring process, the physical fitness tests, and everything is day one of this academy, just like if they got hired on with PD or fire. They're mm-hmm. going to be run through the same things we are ran through, and then it's going to progress into, they're going to split. One of them are going to go in the fire track, some of them are going to go in the PD track, and some of them are going to get to do both. And we'll show them what it's all about, and that's the idea, to try to show these kids that there's careers here in Alamogordo other than just, you know, I mean, working at Walmart or, you know, that kind of stuff, that this exists and it's a good career and it's a good paying career.
Mm-hmm. You bet. Isn't that kind of what the Alamogordo Police Aid is all about, Chief? Isn't it about that?
That's correct. They get their entry level, or as they say, they get their foot in the door, so to speak, through that program, and then they progress through it, getting certifications, training, and then they're being allowed to sent to the academy. As a police officer, and then once they graduate from the police academy, then they're employed with the full-time position with APD.
Yeah. Now, Deputy Chief Lashley, you, if I can recall from the last time you were here, you were a member of the fire department out of Alamo Air Force Base.
Yes.
Is that correct? For how many years? 8 years or something?
It was about seven.
Seven years. Okay.
Yes.
So, going from firefighting out of Alamo Air Force Base to working within the city's fire department now, what have you noticed that might be different?
There's not much differences when it comes down to it. It's the same job. We're a little busier in town, I will say that.
But, right.
All in all, it was a smooth transition.
Yeah.
So I just enjoy being here.
Yeah. And I know, guys, we got a lot to talk about, but Chief, while I'm thinking about it, I know the last time we were here, we discussed the old Holiday Inn complex and everything else in that fire back then
yes.
and everything. Is there any kind of an update for our community?
from what I understand now is the code enforcement, Josh Sides, is taking that over, and he is working diligent to get that taken care of, but it does cost a lot of money because of the old and the age of the building. So from my understanding, it's going to need to be abated for asbestos. So that process needs to take first and foremost, and then going forward from there, the allocation of funding can then start getting the crews to come in and the demolition and making sure it's safe when they start the demolition of that, because they can't just come in and tear down the building and scoop everything up and take
right.
it away. So they've got to do it in certain process and phases, but that is in the works to get done.
Yes, so that whole facility out there will be raised and something else could be built there later on.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've got all three of us sit on the actual planning and zoning, the TRZ board. And right now we're told that there's an additional motel coming in and they want to build it on the back side or the west side of the Starbucks facility. So talking with the lead supervisor for planning and zoning, we had told Stella that if maybe even offer that property, if they were willing to buy it and maybe relocate a hotel there, because everything's there already. All the infrastructure's already laid out.
Exactly, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Boy, what a great location. All those restaurants and everything right by.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Hotel, apartment complex, anything like that would be perfect there.
Correct. Yeah, and it's a fairly good-sized lot. And mm-hmm. so getting that to all that building to be torn down and removed, that's going to be a great property. Prime location.
Right. I remember in the early days of the White Sands Balloon Invitational that Ed Brampson would have their Friday night gathering there in that, I guess, park area or whatever you want to call it, you
right.
know, surrounded by all the different apartments.
Right. Yeah, on the back side.
Different rooms. Yeah,
was,
yeah.
Yes,
yeah, good day. All right. Well, gentlemen, we've got some fun things coming up with the Anamagoto Fire Department. Let's go into this Saturday. We've got the Firefighters Games. Who wants to tackle that?
I'll go ahead and speak on that, Bob.
Okay.
So that game was initiated back when Fire Chief LeClaire was in office. And the last time we actually had that was back in the year 2018. And then things have changed with time, so we moved that actual firefighter games. It used to be hosted during the week of fire prevention during October. So we had a lot of folks coming in from the city asking, you know, can we participate in that? And that's due to the games and the nature of the games. It's actually a lot of the equipment that the fire department and fire members use probably wouldn't work for just the general public to come out. So the change was made where we now host an entire week of fire prevention during October, and we actually open the zoo free of charge. We have bouncy houses for the kids. We have a little bit of some fire games there for them to participate in, and they get to tour the zoo and just have a fun day. We've got static displays out there, so we coordinate with APD, Sheriff's Department. So that's where that started, and then the firefighter games kind of went stagnant for a little while. Bringing that back now, we're bringing it back on May the 4th, which is actually International Firefighters Day.
That's coming this Saturday.
That's this Saturday, absolutely. Yes, sir. So that's the target that we hit for that day, was to get the firefighter games back in and get all the departments from all over the southern state of New Mexico, the entire state of New Mexico, and even into West Texas, hopefully participate. Menus were sent out in hopes that they would register for this. And so we're hoping for a great turnout on that and great weather
right.
for that day.
Yeah. And Lieutenant Wilskaggs, you talked about the Ferguson Academy coming up and everything else. But I think something like the Firefighter Games is another way to maybe get some of those younger people interested in that kind of a career.
Absolutely, Bob. And we have plans going in the future to figure out how we can take these games and adapt them and then get the community and the children involved in them. We've just got to figure out what we can do to where they can actually be involved in it. Because most of these games here take special skills that we learn to do it. If we try to put somebody on the end of the hose line with a smooth bore, they're hardly going to be able to hold on to it. So we got to figure out a way. But that's in the works, to get a public set of games set up to where the members of the public can come register and have teams and enjoying the fun.
I tried several years ago in my career, some event I was at or whatever, maybe it was here in Anamagoto. Somebody said, "Well, Bob, hold on to that fire hose," you know, and they gave it to me. And, whoa, you know,
yeah.
You better hold on to it. And a light guy like me, It's tough.
Yeah, you know, Bob, I'm 6'4". You know, I run about 230 pounds. So I've got guys on my shift. They're like, "Hey, you know this hose?" And I'm like, "What's the issue?" And then I have to sit back and I have to think. Well, one of my guys on my shift is like 5'6". You mean 160 pounds? He can't push that hose around like I can. So that's why you got to adapt. This is a physically demanding job.
Yeah.
So you know, people don't quite realize. You know, and then you put that gear on, that air pack. You know how demanding this job actually is.
You bet. Yeah. What are some of the fun activities going on this Saturday?
So one of them, we'll start out with the actual, what they call the midnight drill. And so you lay down in your uniform, per se, as if you were in the station house sleeping. And then we blow the whistle, you jump up off the cot, you run to the fire truck, which would simulate, you know, your bunker rack. And then that's where you start getting dressed in your SCBA, and or excuse me, your turnout gear, your bunker gear.
Right.
Then you run back, once you're suited up, run back, and you basically have to throw your hand up to say, okay, time's allotted. You're completely no skin showing that you've completed the full ensemble of being dressed. So that's the first event. And it goes from that over to the hose relay. So the hose relay is basically a three-person team, and they have to construct putting together a hose, nozzles, appliances together before water actually shoots out the end of that nozzle. So you got to be very quick and skilled on connecting all them hoses together. From there, we move over to the bucket brigade. So the bucket brigade is basically where they're filling a 55-gallon drum full of water, and you basically hand it to your teammates right behind you to fill up the other 55-gallon drum. But the bucket actually has holes in it like Swiss cheese, so it's leaking water.
Right.
So you're trying to fill it up and dump it as quickly as possible. So the first one to fill up the 55-gallon drum is the winning team.
Yeah.
Then from there, we move over to the hose,
three-person hose?
Water polo.
Oh, water polo, okay.
And with that one, it's two opposing teams, and there's a tether ball on about a 150-foot section of cabling. And as Lieutenant Skaggs had mentioned, you use a straight smoothbore nozzle, and you compete by trying to get that tether ball, almost like tug-of-war, but you use the opposing water streams to get it to one end or the other. And the first team to get it to the first pole is the winning team.
Very good. All
so right. A lot of folks get hit in the face with water, so that's why we require helmets and gloves and protection, especially with these new smoothbore nozzles that we've got. It's almost like a lightsaber. So also being May the 4th be with you.
Right.
So, but yeah, it's going to be great.
What is the speed of that water coming out of those newer nozzles?
So these ones particular, they're set at 150 GPM, so 150 gallons per minute coming out of that. So it definitely is going to take some muscling to get that charged 1¾-inch line, especially at the rate of moving that tether ball very quickly. So as it's getting pushed, that team's got to retreat back and then try to catch that tether ball to push it forward so they don't lose.
So if you're hit by that stream of water, it's going to push you back.
It could, yes.
Probably push you over.
Oh, absolutely, Bob.
Probably make me, Will, airborne.
Absolutely, Bob. We had a fire recently, and I came in and I made entry inside, and Lieutenant Stroop was on the exterior, so they hit the fire from the exterior, and I made entry inside, and I came in, and he opened up that smoothbore on me inside, and it pushed me about 6 foot, slammed me into the wall. That's how powerful these nozzles are. So, you know what I mean? I got on the radio. I was like, "Stroop, stop spraying water from the outside. We're in here." You know, it's pretty powerful.
Yeah, so it'd be me over there. There people would look up and say, "It's a bird, it's a plane." No, it's what? He got hit by that stream of water.
Yeah,
he's
absolutely
gone.
So that's part of the reason why, you mean, these games here are reserved for fire department staff. You have to be a member of one of the, you know, we're going to have Ruidoso Fire, Otero County Fire, you know, all the different volunteer departments. We're hoping Holloman and White Sands are going to show up with teams. So that's why these games here are reserved for fire department personnel and the public to come watch. But we're working on figuring out how we can set up a set of games to where the public can actually come and compete.
Right. And that starts what time on a Saturday?
11.
11
a.m.
Till about 7 p.m., right?
Depending on how many teams.
How many teams?
Oh, depending on how many teams, right.
Yeah.
11 a.m.
Yeah.
And then, Chief, you'll be doing live reports with me over the air.
Absolutely.
We're working on that right now to get that all done and everything. We appreciate it. Well, we've got other things coming up as well, like we talked about before we went on the air. Let's take a look at July 4th. Chief Ramirez, share with us about July 4th.
Yes, sir. So again, this year it'll be hosted up at the Space Hall. They'll have the fireworks show up there. We're hoping for great weather. I know last year we had to postpone it just a little bit because of the high winds that kicked up. So pretty much the cancellation of the 4th of July, if we get, of course, our monsoon season is going on around that time. So if it's heavy rainfall, they'll cancel it, move it to the next day. If the winds are higher than 35 miles an hour, we can't launch. So we're hoping for great weather. So far, looking into the future forecast, it looks like it's going to be a great year for it. It will be hosted on the 4th of July, which is that Wednesday that we talked about.
Thursday.
For that. And what I understand, I have a meeting today with the actual Space Hall staff to find out if they're going to open it back up to the public again like they used to, where they allowed the tailgating, or if it's going to be just to the members only of the Space Hall. So I will have further information on that. But we're looking forward to a great year, 4th of July.
Deputy Chief, lastly, what will be happening on July 4th? What kind of activities?
It'll just be kind of your usual July 4th. We'll have the fireworks show. Like Chief said, he's going to go have the meeting up there and see kind of what they're doing with the Space Hall. And hopefully they do something cool.
Yeah, and we look for that. We look forward to the July 4th fireworks.
Yes.
And of course, mentioning that, you guys will have your trucks and your brush trucks all around the area.
That's one of our busiest nights. Yep. The lieutenant, he was actually on shift. He was shift command for the city because when we host that, myself and the deputy, we usually are up at the Space Hall coordinating that event. And then our shift personnel, two shifts are actually called in for that day, the current shift, and then an outside shift comes in. And they're the ones that are running around town controlling fires. And last year was very busy. We didn't have anything. Literally, the fireworks show started at 9:15. It was quiet completely all day, and at 9:14, it just everything opened up.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. We had four fires going at the same time, four brush fires going at the same time in the city. But large scale brush fires, not little scale. And again, this year it fell on my shift again, back to back. So I'll be on running the city, and then Lieutenant Stroop shift one will be in. So myself and Lieutenant Stroop will split the city, and we staff all of our trucks. So we'll have two brush trucks up. We'll have extra engines. We'll have plenty of personnel on the 4th to make sure we protect the city.
So to protect people, they need to use common sense. What are the requirements when it comes to your own fireworks here in the city of Alamogordo?
So the city has specific ordinances to the city. So basically nothing can go over 10 foot in the air. Okay, and then nothing can be louder than a cap gun. That's the breakdown of the ordinances. So anything that's sold within the city limits of Alamogordo, like at Walmart, Albertsons, the fireworks stands that are set up in the city, they cannot sell anything that's not legal in the city limits. And we go out between our inspector, our shift personnel, we go out and do inspections of those to make sure that they're in compliance. Now, once you step outside of that city limit and you go out into the county, they're wide open. So you can buy stuff that's out in the county that's not legal in the city. So what we tell everybody is that if you want to buy fireworks to shoot off within city limits, make sure you're buying them from vendors in city limits so you don't buy anything that's not allowed.
You know, you see a lot of fireworks going off prior to 9:15 on July the 4th, and then, of course, after that as well. What is the fine for illegal fireworks or just doing that within our community?
Most of the time, the fine is allocated by APD, so whatever their fine assessment is.
Okay.
Most of the time, they've just been asked to basically confiscate, or they'll actually confiscate the fireworks from the personnel. Most of the time, it's like, you know, you're not supposed to be lighting that, put them away, and they'll actually put them away for the most part. But we still get some that after 9:15 and after the fireworks show, they're still lighting fireworks all the way up until 2, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, and I see some go way up in the air, much more than 10 feet.
Right.
Yeah, Bob, and what people don't understand is, we talk about, put them away. But if your fireworks create a fire and you cause damage to somebody's property, in the state of New Mexico, there's a part of the statute, it's called negligent arson, which is a 4th-degree felony. So if you are shooting off fireworks you're not supposed to be, and you catch somebody else's property on fire, there's actually repercussions of it, and it can get bad. So that's why we ask people, follow the ordinance, make sure that you're paying attention to what you're doing, and don't catch other people's property on fire.
Yeah, that's one of my biggest concerns here, because they do go on this section of property to the south of us, and the property goes all the way, ours goes all the way to Fairgrounds Road, and they're over there blowing off those fireworks and everything, and I'm going, boy, if that grass catches on fire, we've got a problem.
Absolutely. You know, we see it every year, Bob. People are just out trying to have fun, trying to enjoy the 4th of July, but we run these fires. Fortunately, in the last few years, there's been no actual property damage. You know, we've been able to contain them, but every once in a while, that fire gets out of hand and it gets into somebody's home, you know, and then we talk about those life-changing events. Not only are you changing the course of your life, you're changing the course of other people's life.
Well, we've got some other good things going on. We have, now we're going to go from July the 4th to September, 9/11. And, Will, I know you've been involved with that every year. You guys might want to tone in on this as well. But what's going on for 9/11?
So we're going to have the 9/11 stair climb, which actually Chief Ramirez's event. He started it here. So he coordinates that every year. But we have the 9/11 stair climb up at the Space Hall. Chief's working with them again to get that set up. So we start there with the teams, and we do everything traditionally by the times and do the stair climb. I forgot, Chief, how many rounds is it in the Space Hall to meet
it? So it's 11 and a half rounds or circuits in the Space Hall to complete or replicate the 110 stories of the Twin Towers. We've had great turnout every year. I know right around the COVID time, we had to actually stop doing it for about 2 years.
Yes. But
then once COVID was over, we re-engaged back in there. We're back again, and the Space Hall's been great supporters of that for us every year. So we're hoping this year we can make it bigger. That's why we're even getting an earlier jump to get everything coordinated. So we're hoping to have food vendors up there. We're hoping to have just regular fire department vendors that sell T-shirts. AFD is actually putting together a T-shirt design and have those T-shirts for sale up there as well. And then we've got the signs that say, you know, I've climbed 110 stories. And then folks bring out their drones and they fly around to see all the participants climbing and everything. We have the big ladder up there with the big flag flying. So we're really trying to make this a great event for 9/11, for that remembrance of that day.
Yeah. What time does that start?
So it'll actually start, open registration starts about 7 in the morning. And then the actual time will be at 8:30 in the morning is when the first team is going up into the tower.
Yeah. Now the first team of firefighters, that they're just not going up with just their firefighting uniform on. They've got a backpack they're carrying up as well, right?
Absolutely, Bob. These young guys, they'll wear their entire full ensemble, and then they bring a hotel pack, and they'll carry that up. And that's a hotel pack is a 150-foot section of 1¾-inch attack line that they'll throw over their shoulder. And then they'll carry a set of tools or hand tools with them as they're going up, and they'll complete all 11 and a half stories, and they still have a smile on their face when they're done.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you what. Well, I would try to come over there and do a live remote with that backpack on and everything else, but here's what you would hear.
We got AMR on standby, Bob, so okay. That's no problem. We got some oxygen for you.
Good enough. Now, those 11 and a half climbs, how many miles would that be? Would that be almost a half mile or a mile? Or what?
Actually, to be honest, it'd probably be a little over 2 miles if you were to lay it out.
Right.
Yes, sir. All the way up there. Yep. And it's a circuit, so they go up one side, across the top floor, down the other side, and across the bottom. That completes one full circuit.
Gotcha.
So it's 11 and a half times of that.
Yeah. Now if our community wants to be involved with that, what do they need to do?
So when the registration hits, it'll be an online registration through our AFD webpage. And then you'll see it posted on the big Jumbotron right next to the zoo. And then probably on our city, Alamogordo City webpage, it'll be posted. And there'll be a scan link that you can go in and register. And that'll send it to our Executive Secretary, Amanda Renner, or one of the lieutenants of DC or myself. And then that just gets all the registrations put in for that.
Right.
So on the day of the event, everybody's registered, their teams, and then they line up and they're ready to go. And this is a free event. There's no charge for this. And then this event is actually open to the citizens, their kids, their families. We've had kids even going up with their parents, which is awesome to see.
Right. You know, if you get the information together and everything else, when you do, get it to us, and we can put that on our digital sign up there, too.
Will do.
By Scenic and Any Wells.
Yes, sir.
At KTMN Radio. We can do that as well.
Awesome.
Well, guys, we're just about out of time this morning. Any final comments?
All I've got, Bob, is hope everybody can come out. This Firefighter Games on Saturday, it's an open participation. Of course, firefighters are the ones competing in the games, but bring your family, bring your friends. We're offering free hot dogs and drinks for the folks there. We've got shade, we've got some pop-up tents to sit down and just take pictures, watch the games, and just have a good time with everybody. I know there's a lot of events going on this weekend as well. So we're hoping that everybody gets a chance to kind of make that circuit
you
come around.
Make the circuit, right.
Yes.
It's going to be at Alameda Park.
Yeah, Alameda Park, starting at 11 a.m. And then, like I said, the food will be available right around noon, the hot dogs and the free drinks. And we also will have trophies for the winning teams. We actually have a traveling trophy that has been created, and for years ago, this trophy used to go to the winning team and travel around. So for an entire year, whoever that winning team is, it sits in that station. So as just putting this out over the air, Alamogordo Fire's held this trophy for approximately 4 years now. So it's time to keep it again or let another team get a hold of it.
There you go. Deputy Chief Lashley, any final comments?
No, just please come out and support us Saturday. You know,
looking forward to all of this.
We're looking forward to it. We're a very competitive fire department. It kind of drives us, so we just need our community behind us so we can bring this trophy back.
Looking forward to that as well. Lieutenant Will Skaggs?
Oh, I just hope
to wrap it up.
Well, everybody, we're going in summer, so I hope everybody starts having fun. Come out, support your community, and you know, be fire safe. You know, we're not going to get any rain anytime soon. So make sure that we're paying attention to what we're doing. If you want to burn, you want to do something, you know, contact us. There's ordinances, and we'll steer you in the right direction to let you know what you can and can't do.
So, and I want to strike a match to that back lot back there. Call the fire department first.
Yeah, you can come down and apply for a burn permit, and then we'll let you know if you can do it or not.
I'd rather have you guys do it. You know, I don't know. Not like chicken. Gentlemen, thanks for coming in this morning. This was fun. Getting all the good information out about the Alamogordo Fire Department and everything you're doing for the community. We want to thank you. I want to thank you for what you guys do. You work hard. You get home. You start to relax, prop the feet up. Cell phone rings. You're going again.
Absolutely.
And we really do appreciate that as three of our first responders.
Thank you,
gentlemen.
Thank you, Bob. Thanks for having us.
You betcha. All right. Have a great day. I'll see you around town.
We are Active Radio, 88.9 FM, KHII Cloudcroft, 100.5 FM Alamogordo, and 102.3 KEDU Ruidoso.